oatmeal.
Alrighty, night, y'all.
I want oatmeal now.
Up next is Classy. He's very classy, like the actor Raymond Massey.
All right, stop it.
Sarah Jones, not Foxy Brown. You know, I'm Sarah Jones.
I'm Sarah Jones, not Foxy Brown.
This is Sarah Jones encouraging you to fight repression and support progressive activism wherever you are. You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM, New York City.
Because the real revolution, that's right, I said the real revolution, you know, I'm talking about the revolution. When it comes, it's going to be real. It's going to be real. It's going to be real.
Creative Unity Collective, alternating Friday nights, midnight to 3, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.
Once you change your philosophy, you change your thought pattern. Once you change your thought pattern, you change your attitude. Once you change your attitude, it changes your behavior pattern. And then you go on into some action.
Once upon a time when we were colored, stolen from the mother. 400 years later, Mr. Charlie's on some other. Take this as an affirmative act, to slap after whack. Catch brothers, sisters who are falling through the cracks. Creativity and unity, the keys to maintain our humanity and our sanity. No vanity, materialism, big willy crap. Just progressive elevation, can I get a soul clap? Keep it going on. CUC, keep it going on. Keep it going on. Creative unity, keep it going on.
WBAI New York. It is coming up on 2 minutes after 3 o'clock. Coming up next, Labrish with Haptah Selassie. It is a taped program, and as I say, so stay tuned. Yeah, 2 minutes after 3 o'clock.
I'm a progressive.
because I love progressives. I'm a truthful man and I love truthful people. I'm a determined man, I love determined people. I've learned to listen in my life, a lesson in my life. You just can't beat everybody, so you got to beat yourself.
Welcome to Labrish for Saturday, September 28, 2002. The music of Peter Tosh, Lessons in My Life, and from the album Bush Doctor. This morning, we'll be having, as our guests, some members of the, the WBAI listenership, people involved as listeners, as activists, and we'll be discussing, I guess it is the continuing, as I love to say, the continuing drama that is Pacifica. Matter of fact, I use the term because someone, when asked what was, the answer to the question was, it's a drama. And I'm applying that to Pacifica, to WBAI, that it is a drama and one that, as you have been encouraged over time to pay close attention to, listen to the dialogue, watch the activity, and remain focused, be quite clear as to what you understand Pacifica to be, and what the value of WBAI is to you, and how then these things can be preserved. I think that this is either our third or fourth program dealing with the question of Pacifica, the reorganization of Pacifica, the writing of new laws of governance, of bylaws, and so on. And that is ultimately to lead to the election of local board members, referred to as LAB members, and also members of the national board, the Pacifica National Board. Those things, are to happen, and we're trying to participate in that process by bringing you, the listener, information. We have to say that we here at Labrish are quite proud of the fact that we did the first program on this issue. That is thanks to Sean Rhodes, who always trying to get me involved in, let me say, the process and the activities at Pacifica within WBAI, and trying to keep abreast of the news and developments. Let me say, succeeded in telling me that there were to be elections in December for local area board members, lab members, and also that some, I think, 15 months then from December of last year, that there should be election of the national board members. We're here trying to, as we say, keep you, the listener, informed on that, because we think it is very, very important that you do. I have to confess, and I usually do, that I'm totally ignorant of a whole lot of things about Pacifica. One, basically, let me say, I'm deliberately ignorant. I guess maybe it's best that I just leave that there. But nonetheless, the network and this radio station, WBAI, is of concern and of importance to me. I understand its value to listeners, to you, to, let me say, to life here, to an understanding of life in America, life in the world, how people do live, how people will have to then coexist. And I'm not speaking necessarily that WBAI or Pacifica has to be a stump that is strictly anti-government. So in a sense, even if the government should propose something that is good, that because we have an anti-stance that we just go anti. But I think that what the station can provide and what it does provide oftentimes is information, and information that you can use intelligently, because ultimately I think it comes down to you, the individual, you, the listener, that someone told me, it is a wise person who can make sense of nonsense. So ultimately, the sense that you have to make of what you hear is then your responsibility, and it is within your ability to do. So I'd like to welcome to Labrish, to this program, Pat Heffley, who is a listener activist and a member of the WBAI Bylaws Revision Subcommittee and a member of the Coalition for Democratic Pacifica. It is the New York chapter. Berthold, did I say that correctly? I want to make sure. Reimers, who is a listener activist, a member of the WBAI Bylaws Revision Subcommittee, a member of the Elections Committee of Concerned Friends of WBAI, and a member of the Coalition for Democratic Pacifica. And, well, there are other things. They have quite a number of other things. And it is Romulo. Sanchez. Romulo, did I say that correctly, Romulo?
Yes.
Good. Romulo will be here, but not necessarily then an active participant in terms of hearing his voice. We're having a little difficulty, let us just leave it at that, that he will be here participating, but you won't hear as much from him as you will from then, from Patty Heffley, or from Mr. Reimers, Berthold. Did I say that correctly?
Yes.
Well, finally, after so much rehearsal, I should. So to all of you, welcome, and thank you so very much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. I guess maybe the best place for me to start is to say, where in the process is Pacifica first? And then locally, WBAI, as this is the station that we're broadcasting from, where are we in the process of writing new bylaws of, let me say, in the election process? That is, elections are scheduled for December for the lab members. And I think it is in March, if I'm not mistaken, or April. For the election of 12 and 3 is 15, so it would be March for the Pacifica National Board. Where are we with that?
The timeline is supposed to have been by 1 year after the settlement, which was December 27th, 2001, that 1 year later we would be holding elections And then the national board would be, the new national board would be seated 3 months later in March. That timeline has changed some because the bylaws are taking much longer to write than people had expected. They had this past weekend a national board meeting in Houston, Texas. The interim board met. There were probably 100 people, maybe at times over the weekend, more than that, had come to help write the bylaws, had come to participate with public comment, and the national board went over the bylaws in parts of their national board meeting, being they only got through 6 pages of the 52 pages of the bylaws on this past weekend, and it went on quite a long time. The board is quite split on several issues, and the whole problem is the power sharing and where the power is going to lie. There are several bylaws proposals put out. There's one from WPFW written by the bylaws committee there. There is one from KPFA in Berkeley, and that one is a Carol Spooner. Well, it's not hers. She doesn't want it to be called hers. It's not hers. KPFK in Los Angeles is one written by Dave Fertig himself, who's a lawyer and also the interim Pacifica board member, the only one from KPFK in Los Angeles. Then there's another KPFK model, which is from the subcommittee, the bylaws subcommittee. And then there's KPFT in Houston, and their bylaws subcommittee also came out with a proposal, as well as then there was one called the Unity Committee, not to be confused with the WBAI Unity Caucus, which was another one where they had a whole weekend workshop where they also wrote bylaws, and I think mixed in with them is the Pacifica Accountability Committee, which has been a group around since 95 or so that started thinking about these issues many years ago when their station was taken out. So you have all these groups, these bylaws proposals that they're set, comparing them in a sort of a grid process. You say, okay, section 2, which one do you like? This one says this, this says that. Which one do you like? Oh, okay. And then they took straw polls. And this took hours and hours and hours to go through the process and to get a sense of the board. There were no votes taken, only a sense of the board. And after these bylaws are gone through like that, there will be new bylaws written up, a compilation of all these, and then those will go to a lawyer for some overview, for a lawyer to actually write them in legal language. And then local boards will then have to figure out, 3 of the 5 have to agree upon the manner and mode of elections for the nation, for the network. And so to try to get 3 of the 5 labs, or the now sitting labs, to agree on a process should be quite difficult as well. So it's a daunting task. It's a very daunting task. And then you have, you know, the personalities all over the place, and on the national board too. For example, the WPFW model is a similar bylaws to the ones that we have now. The reason why the bylaws are being rewritten is because in the settlement, listener sponsors were given voting rights and membership in the foundation through the listener lawsuit that was brought about by Carol Spooner and 11 other members, of which I am proudly one, and other people from around the listening area came together and made this lawsuit, and the Attorney General... it was under his name, and so I think that's really what got a lot of the changes made. So that's why the bylaws are being written. I heard a few weeks ago on the radio they were saying, well, why do we have to rewrite the bylaws? They're kind of just okay like they were, just tweaking, you know, it's the people. And Well, that's a really misunderstanding of what the process is. There's a new element of power involved in the process now, which are these listeners. These listeners that have been mostly cash cows all along the way are now hopefully going to be participating in the bylaws, in the governance of the network, and really will be there to help protect the network because they have cared about it and are really what brought back the network in the first place. So rightfully so, we need the listener sponsors sharing the power. That's why the bylaws are being rewritten.
Okay. Let me find this out from you. Is there to be one set of bylaws for Pacifica, or is there to be each station will have its own bylaws, or is it that Pacifica will have a set of bylaws and each station will have their own bylaws? When we're talking about bylaws, what exactly are we speaking about?
Well, there are bylaws that have to run the foundation. Since the Pacifica Foundation is a license holder of the five stations, they have to have a set of governing bylaws. Mm-hmm. And those will be a blanket bylaws. There are some kind of, as far as the elections go, there's been some kind of talk that maybe each station could have their own way of electing their boards.
Mm-hmm.
That is maybe illegal, but no, people are trying to check into that. Because you have Washington, D.C., which is mostly playing jazz and has been really not following the mission for quite some time. Mm-hmm. Houston, you know, veered off into the sounds of Texas for about 8 years. It used to have 11 different languages on the air, and it changed. It was taken out, and Garland Ganter, as general manager, changed it all around into Sounds of Texas, where mostly music is being played. And just this last year, with the new management, has drawn it back into adding public affairs programs. They have added, I think, 20 new programs. But they're still trying to get... They love their music on the weekend. They got blues on one day and the Sounds of Texas on another day. And the people go crazy whenever they preempt it for something. So they're a little nervous about who's going to vote down there. But the fact is, Democracy Now! Raises a lot of money down there. They got a lot of subscribers from that way. And with the elections perhaps, you know, trying to stick with the mission, I think they'll come along. So, but that's some people are afraid that those stations will, you know, have bad boards. So we should, like, well, let them grandfather and let them, you know, use the labs they have and let them try something. And KPFA, who has elected their boards for 2 years already and has done a fine job, they have a very active local board there. Their problem is that they can't get in the station. You know, the problems that, which I hope we'll talk about in a while, mm-hmm. of the way the stations operate and why things don't move forward better. But KPFA already has elections. KPFK has a decent listening audience, and WBAI does too. Actually, WBAI wrote bylaws 3 weeks late, arrived, dated September 19th. The bylaw meeting was September 20th. Everything was supposed to be in the beginning of September, and they worked outside the mandated bylaws subcommittee, excuse me, to bring this program of choice of the Unity Caucus constituency model, which is a whole other kind of it isn't really elections. It's not appointed seats, they said, but it's a very complicated way of bringing diversity onto the board. Mm-hmm. And they want that no matter what. So there's going to be a struggle to keep all the stations uniform. So the national board, when the votes are taken, when the boards are elected locally, and then the members that are, however that will be, which is also a discussion, the members from the local have to go to the national, that they'll all be have been elected in the same way, so it will be a proper equal board. So that's, you know, that's a little aside that we don't really know what's going to happen, but I know there's a powerful group of people in New York that really like things the way they are, and they will fight for that. And
okay. If I may get some clarification, because a couple of things were said about, one about Houston and Washington, that you say they were not then fulfilling mission, the mission. That's one thing that was said. And number two, I'm still a little bit, let me say, confused, because I'm hearing about a WBAI or New York Bylaws Committee or Commission, and you also mentioned that, you know, bylaws are then being written for Pacifica, then because Pacifica, as you say, holds the license or is the governing body for the network or for the group of stations that it holds. So what I'm trying to get a sense of here is some clarification on Houston and Washington, D.C. failing then to fulfill the mission. That's one. And two, if there's to be just, I'm trying to find out if there's just going to be one set of bylaws for Pacifica, or is there going to be a set of bylaws for Pacifica and then a set of bylaws for each individual station?
Well, first of all, before
Mr. Rimers.
Okay, yes. Yes. Before I talk to the idea of the Houston and the Washington station failing to fulfill the mission, we should talk a little bit about the history of how this came about. Mm-hmm. About 7 years ago, there was a group of people at the national board who had something called the 5-year plan. And basically what they wanted to do, they wanted to change Pacifica from a not-for-profit progressive network and try to make it more profitable. And so what they did in the process is they actually slowly changed the bylaws so that they could be self-selected, okay? So, well, through this process, what they did, they were also able to hire and fire people at will at some station, and then that's how they were able to change the management of the station in Houston and in Washington D.C. And they also tried to do that in Berkeley. But there was a protest, 10,000 people to the street. So to understand why Washington and Houston did not meet the Pacific Commission, you have to understand that this happened. And it was clear that even though Gary Noll would like to claim otherwise, that these people's intent were to actually be able to sell some stations, one of which was WBAI, so that they could profit personally from it, and also they could reinvest in other stations. So they were going to change the direction of this network completely. Mm-hmm. So that's why the Houston and the Washington area failed in meeting the Pacific Commission. The second part you wanted to talk about is whether or not we will have national bylaws. Mm-hmm. We always had national bylaws. We will have national bylaws. However, There can be nuances in the national bylaws. For example, before this whole saga, you had national bylaws, and you also had local bylaws. But the local bylaws were superseded by the national bylaws. In other words, the national bylaws, you know, took precedent over the local bylaws. And but what we want to do now is basically we have a national bylaw that would address the needs of all the listeners, the producers, paid and unpaid, the volunteers, and the national board and the local board. So, you know, what that brings us to is to the point where before this whole saga, you had only the national boards who were self-selected who were making decisions. So you can say that we had some benevolent dictators. You know, they were progressive people and they believed in the mission. But slowly what happened is, as they needed more fundraising and they needed to bring more people on the board who were closer to those who could raise money and so forth and so on, slowly they strayed away from the mission. But yet the listeners were always truthful to the mission. So therefore the listeners were the one who actually brought them back to the mission. So therefore, the listeners are requesting and demanding that we do share power. And the power, and you know, this is a strong term, because people are afraid to say it, but that's the bottom line. We want to share power. We want to have a power sharing and more of actually of a system of check and balances than a power sharing, where if the listeners are straying away from the mission, that they can be straightened by the producers and the local board and the national board and vice versa. If the national board are not doing their job or if the local board are not doing their job, we, the listeners, should be able to recall them. So therefore, that is why we have to elect them. And that is extremely important because we have proposed a system of proportional representation, which is a system that brought a communist in the 30s to the Manhattan
City Council,
and also brought Adam Clinton Powell, you know, to office. Of course, you can imagine that they say, well, how is that going? Well, they got rid of it because it was too dangerous of a system. What the system does, it allows people, minority or different groups, who do not have as much of a greater percentage of the population, to vote and to have enough influence in the voting process to be able to influence or even select their own representative or representative who represent their interest. And I want to emphasize that, their own representative or representative who represent their interests, because the model that Patty Heffley was talking about, the constituency model, is a model that is, in essence, you know, very noble in its ideal, in the ideal of trying to make sure that every single group, constituencies, deprived organizations, progressive organizations are represented throughout the city. However, you can imagine that this could not possibly, pragmatically, this could never happen, because let's assume that you have 20 different Hispanic group, the Colombian, even within the Colombian, you may have 20 different sections of people who have different interests. So how do you say that you want to choose one group to represent the interests of all those 20 different sections of the Colombian population? So therefore, even though this is a novel concept, you know, we are proposing that to the proportional representation instead of the constituency model, to have people who come with an agenda and a mission. Like in Europe, you know, they have their own agenda and they present their agenda and their project for the station. And therefore, they would represent the interests of the station as opposed to the interests of their constituency. Because you could be representing the interests of your constituency, your local union, and not represent the interests of WBAI. There might be collusion. So so basically, that is what's going on. And you know, all this time being spent over agreeing on the bylaws, the 7 or 10 different bylaws presented throughout the network, are all about how do you separate the powers and establish checks and balances between the producers, paid and unpaid, the listeners, the national board and local board. You want to be able to have it so that not one group can actually dominate. And basically also you want to make sure that different constituencies, groups, ideas, concepts, musics, and so forth and so on are all represented to the station equitably or somewhat equitably. That's it.
It is a big piece to bite off. Indeed. And I'm then in a sense smiling because I think that what the challenge is not to me so much the detail as the spirit to which people will come to the entire project with. Because in the end, I think the point that has been raised as to whether or not one is looking out for oneself on an individual basis, one is looking out for oneself on a group basis, or whether one is looking out for what is in the best interest of the station. And that is where, to me, the ultimate challenge is, because where we will be willing to then sacrifice, if I may put it in those terms, ourselves for what is in the best interest of the station. And then, too, that is what will also have to be defined, what is in the best interest of the station. Because, of course, different people have different views as to what is in the best interest of the station. And hopefully, when those issues do come to the fore, when that understanding, when different people with different points of view are pursuing what they consider to be in the best interest of the station, that that understanding is applied by all. That is ultimately reason above everything else will prevail. That is my hope, because everybody will say that whatever they are doing, whatever he is doing, whatever she is doing, is in the best interest of the station. And ultimately, there has to be some way, some means of determining that beyond what is then just being articulated. Because we all, as I said, you know, anything I do is in the best interest of the station. So that is one thing. Now, something else that was raised is this idea of power sharing. And I wanted some kind of clarification on that. But let me do this first. WBAI New York. This program is Labrish. My name is Haptah Selassie, and my guest, Patty Heffley, listener activist and member of the local, Bylaws Review Committee, Commission. Is it Commission or
Committee?
Committee. And Berthold, did I say that right?
Yes.
Reimers. I'm trying to remember, because I'm looking at it from a totally anglicized way, and I'm trying to remember the name, but it is Berthold Reimers, who is also a listener activist and a member of the Bylaws Committee, and Rumelo Sanchez, who is also here, but we won't hear a lot from Mr. Sanchez. Because you don't need to know. You just only need to know that you won't hear from him too much. But he is here, and he is participating. The idea of power sharing, because I remember hearing someone say that, you know, decisions, that is, decisions in an organization is best made by an odd number of people, less than three. And, you know, ultimately, with, you know, if people are passionate about what is in the best interest of the station, if people are passionate about their position, people not necessarily want to yield their point, in a sense, let me say, just to be nice. People want to hang on to it, and sometimes I say it can create massive friction and serious problems. So when we talk about power sharing, what are we talking about? Because there's a national board for Pacifica that has, I'm sure, power. There is an executive director, then, who has power. They are the station managers who have power, the program directors who have power. And then we're talking now about the producers as a group to have power, and the listeners to have power. So when we talk about power sharing, what exactly are we talking about? And ultimately, amongst the national board, the executive director, the station managers, the program directors, the producers, and the listeners, somebody's power has to supersede everybody else's, ultimately. Or, you know, we can run aground from a stalemate that is because there are checks and balances. You know, the listeners can check the national board, and the national board can check the producers, and the producers can check the general managers, and the general managers can check the program directors, and the program directors can check the listeners. So we're trying to find out, when we're talking about power sharing, what exactly are we talking about? Yeah, I mean, as I say,
well,
both of you can address it.
Okay, we'll address it together. We'll speak together at the same time.
Ready?
Okay.
One, two, three.
Now, first of all, before we talk about power sharing, you were talking about reason, as far as the people acting in their best interest. I must say on the positive side that since the coup at WBAI 2 years ago, groups have been meeting for 2 years now, 2.5 years probably. And
well, there were groups long before that too. There were listener groups since 1996 in this listening area.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about as far as when things were getting really hot. And there were a lot.
They were hot before 2 years ago too. We'll disagree on that.
This is a listener who's getting an education right now. But I would say that after the coup, when groups were meeting, and there were a lot of friction, a lot of yelling at the meetings, a lot of aggression, not physical. However, there have been a lot of compromise on both sides. I think, people from different models have adapted certain aspects of other models, and you know, it is my belief that there will be compromise, and we will reach the best, what's best for WBI and Pacifica. I think Patty can go more into that, but you know, I'll go into the power sharing aspect of it. The power sharing is, you could almost say that this is something that you will produce, and producers probably would not like. But the ultimate power lies with the listeners, who gives a contribution to the station, and it's not an active power. I mean, it's an active to the process of election. Once the listener elect the local board, the listener are actively exercising their power. Okay, now that the local, first of all, the listeners have the power to recall any member of the local board or the entire local board, but the process that we're trying to work is, we're trying to set it up so that it's very difficult. It should not be easy to be able to recall a board member that has been elected. It should not be impossible either. So, I mean, these are the details that have to be worked out. Once the local board is elected, the local board, the way we see it, will have the power or the responsibility, I would rather say, to oversee what's going on at the station, you know. And this is one point where we always deferred with the producers, and producers advocate where there was a big resentment towards that, you know. And the argument was, we do not want to be micromanaged as producers. Mm-hmm. And so the point one wanted to bring out was that the lab should not micromanage the producers, but should evaluate the station. The lab should be the entity that chooses, elects among themselves, a station manager who would, with the program council and so on else, choose a station, a program director. Mm-hmm. Okay? So once you have a system that way, you'd have a program director that's selected directly by the station manager, with in coalition with the consent of the lab. So you should have a united system, a united group of people. And of course, do not forget that the program council will also be influenced by the producers who would have a say in, you know, which program director is elected and how. A very strong say. So, you know, the concept of power sharing, you know, if you want to look at it in a negative way, you know, it's easy to look at it in a negative way. You can also look at it in a positive way, mm-hmm. where it's really a structure that's being established so that, you know, this network can operate as a corporation. I mean, you know, we are somewhat of a corporation. We hate to say it, you know, we raise money, we pay rent, you know, we have to be in the black and not in the red, and so forth and so on. So we have to somewhat operate effectively. And effectively means that there has to be some level of democratic, fair, and transparent process at the station so that the producers, the director, the program council, or anybody else at the station does not feel alienated.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be, I mean, it's idealistic. It's what we want, we would like, and that's the vision of what the whole bylaw and local election process should come to.
Did you use idealistic in the sense of not being pragmatic or idealistic because that is what is in the interest of the station?
Idealistic because that's what is in the interest of the station, and also idealistic because it would be very difficult to get to, but it's not impossible.
Okay, because usually, as I'm saying, when you talk about idealism in that sense, it seems as if what is being proposed is unreasonable. That is usually when people say, oh, you're idealistic, as if you're not in the real world. But I I have a quite different view of the word myself, because I think that idealism, being idealistic, I think is what people ought to be, not anything else, because if we say that the things that we espouse are valuable to us, are important to us, and the first thing that we're willing to do is to compromise. That is why I asked the question. when we talk about groups and their interests, and because you said one of the things is that there was a lot of compromise, but I have a totally different look also at compromise. But meantime, you wanted to say something on the issue, right, Patty? But let me say this first, that you're listening to WBAI. We're at 99.5 FM on your dial. And we're having a discussion about then our family station here, WBAI, and also the Pacifica network, or Pacifica that owns, operates these stations. We're trying to inform you, the listener, about a process that is unfolding where new laws, new bylaws, a new set of rules of governance, let me say a redefinition of Pacifica is happening, and we're trying to bring you this information so that you ultimately will become involved, or can be involved, and can be involved intelligently. That is, that you'll know and have an understanding of what the process is, what is at stake, what is your role in it, and then how you can then adequately participate. I have to say, too, that I'm kind of getting a bit of a chuckle over here, because I heard two really dirty words coming from you. One was lawyer earlier. Somebody said something about a lawyer wrote his own bylaws.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a member of the board. God forbid, because I used to hear a lot of
arguments. Well, we have more than one on there.
Oh, wow, gee. And somebody's going to go to hell and burn in fire, because I used to hear things about lawyers and lawyers couldn't be a part of the Pacifica stuff because they were whatever it is. And next, the other word that I heard, really, really dirty word, is that Pacifica is a corporation and has to talk about the bottom line. But anyway, I couldn't let those things go by because I heard them so much in the past that those things were not a part of Pacifica and so on. And another word that I heard is a bit of a dirty word also is the idea of transparency.
Precisely.
I love it when people curse at me or use terms like transparency because one of the things I guess we'll get back to it because I'm not going to let the issue of transparency go by because I think that is at least since you raise the idea that the people who ultimately are the I guess it is the cog in this wheel are the listeners, that transparency is necessary to inform them about what their participation is, you know, how their money is being spent and so on. Not necessarily that you need their approval to spend their money, but at least informing them as to how your money is being spent, how their money is being spent. So you wanted to address this, Patty, what was being said before by Mr. Reimers.
Well, definitely in the power sharing, the way I think Bertold explained it quite well, what elements all have to take place. The problem, what we have now, I think, is going to be very difficult to dislodge into making this process of inclusion of all these kind of groups, the listeners, the staff, and when you laid it out earlier about, you know, the national board and the local board, and there's the executive director has power and the national board has power, and as you went down, who was left was the staff and the listeners, you know, who basically have no power, who have really, you know, mm-hmm. given themselves yeah. to the network. One of the models,
like every other corporation,
like every other one, just like them. One bylaws proposal that was proposed, but had to be they got rid of it right away because it was just too much. Was that there would be 90 boards of directors, that there would be 15 from each of the stations. That's five stations. Would be actual directors of the foundation and the local station boards at the same time, and then there would be committees that would be national committees and stuff. And that was like a real decentralized process that was totally pushed away. Everyone got afraid of it and ran away as quickly as possible. There were also ideas of elected program councils, but too many elections seemed to be perhaps a problem, and also those. So that was kind of that's still an idea, but I don't think it will happen. As far as the power sharing, that's really an example of how what really is happening and needs to happen is 2 years ago KPFA elected their own local advisory boards in revolt, you know, after their station was taken out in 1999, which in fact was really taken out in 1995 when they threw out all the programs and changed to music in the evening. I can't recall how many programmers, 125 or so programmers, were just like gotten rid of. Many, you know, public affairs programs and everything. So the WBAI in December of 2000 was just the last station. It was nothing special, really. It was just the last one. You know, the rest were gone, and this was the last one. I always hold that to be the case, and that, in fact, that nothing was done here, no outcry and outburst in 1999 when armed guards took over KPFA, and everything was just business as usual around here. Management on down was rather troubling. There was a gag rule, and people were, you know, frightened of losing their airtime, and managers didn't want to lose their things, and so, you know, no one ever told those poor listeners, you know, they just told them to keep passing the money this way, until 2000 when we saw that, you know, what really was happening. So that's why the power sharing is important to be, this gag rule is gone, that the listeners know what's happening, that they have recall process and all that. But in KPFA, where there's been two elections of the local, and right now they're advisory boards only, but what they want to be changed into, hopefully, is station boards. And that's an argument on these bylaws, whether the national board, with the local station boards, will be advisory only, or will they be able to hire, fire, and take care of more business, the budgets and such things, or if it's going to be pushed back up to this, you know, this centralized national board with lots of power. The national office at WB at Pacifica right now, 2003 budget, is $725,000 for salaries. You know, why is that? What are they doing? And this whole thing, what we've been trying to fight against, is a big national office, a big national power structure, because that's how they took us out. We need local power where the boards and everyone can see what's happening at the stations. This is also the sad state of the stations, is because the national board, who had the power, didn't know what was happening locally. They couldn't know. They can't come here and look. The local boards had no power. Here in New York, the local board loves the station. In KPFT, they hate the station. In WPFW, the lab local board is more progressive than the station. KPFA is finally elected. KPFK has been struggling for 5 years in a real process to try to, you know, and they were more progressive than the station, too. So you have all these varieties going on. But the one thing that is stable in all of them is the entrenchment of the power structures that exist in each of the stations and of the staff and of the management and of everybody trying to keep their little piece of the pie, as you were saying. You know, there's and that's going to be the hard thing to break. And I think, to me, that's what has to break, is the structure of the entrenchment, the nepotism, the feeling that, you know, their program is their bit of real estate that they own. That the in WBI, too, I think they have 33 paid staff. For what? Where the network is in dire straits. We have a huge deficit, and there people are adding paid staff when one should perhaps this year try to find more volunteers, you know, have programming, try new things, unpaid staff, you know, not paid programmers, not strip programming, try to get back to the roots, try to get back to what WBAI and Pacifica was when I first started listening, was a lot more of a quilt. You know, of a lot different varieties of voices, and I don't know how much paid people, but I don't think we can afford it. And the more people get paid, once they get paid, then they don't want to leave, you know, and then there's a fight for that spot that has that money. And then, you know, these can be doled out by whoever's hiring people. Mm-hmm. The hiring practices around Pacifica are atrocious. There's not really postings for them often. You know, they broke the union here in New York. The union was busted by our current general manager through Pacifica ordered the union being busted, and she complied. And so we have no real proper union. The union was never really powerful here.
Let me take the opportunity and say this. I'm surprised to hear that, but please continue. I just couldn't let that go by. You have to forgive me.
That's okay. No, I think there should be more discussion about what's gone on in all the stations. And here at WBAI, I think transparency is really what it is about. You know, people didn't know what their money was going to. Their money was going to, in 1995 and 96, to the to break the union here. $30,000 was spent on a company to break the unions in Pacifica. That was listener money in 1996. The American Consulting Group, it was. And these things have gone on. No one ever said a word. The finances, the budgets have been passed out. The books, as far as disbursements and such, we've never seen them. I've been coming to bylaw meetings, local meetings, board meetings since 96. Every month they would ask the, you know,